Second lesson in our series on how to get into position to receive healing. Tonight's lesson will be number 33, and I've entitled it, What We Must Believe. Okay? So let's just start out here. Last week we talked about the fact that the top step was to believe that we receive when we pray. We've been over that a few times already tonight. But to believe that we receive when we pray, to believe, we got to know what faith is and how it comes, so we recognize it when we see it. You know, if you're trying to get somewhere, you're going to have to know when you got there. And so, if we don't know what faith is, we're going to have a hard time understanding when we're ready to believe and receive when we pray. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about understanding faith, and then we're going to talk about two things we must believe for healing, or really for anything else. So let's open our Bibles up and talk a little bit about what faith is. So open your Bibles to the faith chapter, which is Hebrews chapter what?
11.
I thought you'd know that. Now we've got different Bibles here. I've got a King James, as you know, and you've got mostly NIVs, a lot of you, so it's not going to be exactly the same, but it's going to be very close. So let's just, the very first verse of chapter 11 gives us a definition of what? Faith. My Bible says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now if you read that just the first time, it sounds a little vague maybe. But let's just kind of dissect this verse a little, because this is what faith is. And faith is probably the word in the Bible that's mentioned probably more than any other word, other than something like the or and or something. But I mean, the main word, faith, is everywhere. One time, I was teaching a lesson on faith, and I printed out every verse that I just set my printer going. I just told my printer to go and look through the Bible. I've got the Bible on a computer up there, and print out every verse for a lesson I was preparing on faith. When I came back, I had a stack of paper that high. It was incredible. I never knew faith was used so much in the Bible. And so, it's an important subject. What's that, Chuck?
Refill your ink and continue.
Yeah. It was getting pretty dim at the end. That's right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute. If you look up the word substance in the Greek, one of the words they use for substance is title deed, or settled assurance, those two things. Just substitute that in there for a minute. Faith is the title deed of something hoped for, or faith is the settled assurance of something hoped for. So if you're going to have faith, what is the first thing you have to have? Something to hope for, something you desire. You got to have an object for your faith, all right? And so that's what hope is for. Hope is the object of your faith. When you first start out, let's say we're talking about healing. Let's say you go to the doctor and you're diagnosed with something that's not good. Oh, I don't. There's lots of different things it could be, but let's just say it's, I don't know, MS or something like that. You hear that, you know, you're not feeling too good. You go in there and he diagnoses MS. Okay? Now, when you first hear that, there's going to be a, oh, no, you know, feeling come over you. So you come home, you say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, I've been to Bible study, I've heard a few things, I know I have a right to healing, that Jesus took my infirmities, but you're still not completely settled. You say, well, one thing I know, I want to be healed of this MS. That's your hope. You've got a hope now, because the doctor's focused your attention on something here. So the first thing that happens is you hope for something. There's no faith maybe yet, but you hope. That's okay. Hope is good. Hope is something that focuses what you're going to believe for. I heard one guy say one time, hope is like a goal setter. It's like a goal that you're going toward. You got to have something. You don't, you know, a direction you're proceeding here. So to be healed then becomes a hope at first. Maybe there's no faith there at first, but it's a hope. I hope to be healed. That's okay. Now, faith is the settled assurance of the thing hoped for. Now, when you start off, when you first get this diagnosis, you may not have a settled assurance for the healing. You just got the hope. That's okay. The hope is what focuses your faith. But faith is the title deed. When you've got the title deed to something, you what?
Own it.
So you don't own it yet. You're still hoping for something. You're hoping to be healed. That's not faith. But it's something that comes first, something to focus yourself toward. Now, when I saw title deed, and it said title deed in the Greek, I thought about when we bought this house. When we came up the driveway to this home, we were searching for a lot, actually, to build a home on, and the realtor said, well, you've described to me the home that you want, and I think you're going to build on this lot that I'm looking for you. I think I found a home that's got pretty much what you want. And I was a little pessimistic. I thought, you can't have all the stuff that we're looking for. But when we came up the driveway and got pretty close, we got closer and closer, you know, Mary and I kind of looked at each other and I thought, this can do it. I mean, just, this is pretty much what we had. We wanted to sit back from the road. We wanted a fair amount of acreage. We wanted a nice big yard and some landscaping, and there was a bunch of other things we had on our list. Well, we came up here and all of a sudden the hope formed. I started hoping. I hope we can get this place because this would do it. Now, I didn't know. There was a lot of unknowns at that point. But I was hoping. And Mary Ann looked at me and she said, what did you say? Do you remember what you said?
If I'm moving back in now, I'm leaving this house. Make it so.
Make it so.
I have faith.
I think I was her hope. I mean, and so we began to really hope this would work out. Now, we couldn't really have faith yet because there were too many unknowns. We didn't know some things. We didn't know that we could reach an agreement with about the seller. You know? We didn't want to pay the full price. We had some ideas of what we would pay. We had no idea whether he would accept that. There was some other things to work out that weren't that we wanted. And so all we could have at first was a strong hope for this place. We couldn't have faith because we did not have enough information. We did not have enough evidence to give us that faith. Now, as we began to negotiate with the guy on this house, there came a point at which we got to an agreeable figure after some negotiation, and he agreed to throw in some things that I wanted, like that John Deere tractor out in the garage and some other things that I thought would be nice to have, and he finally went along. And so we got to the point where we both signed our names to a real estate agreement. And so at that point, we could move from a hope to a faith situation. You understand what I'm saying? Because we have more information now. He's agreed. We've heard what he has to say. He says, I'll take that amount. I said, I'll give that amount. We're at the point where we have agreement. We have more evidence. Now, all of a sudden, that strong hope that we had, a hope it works out, has got more evidence to go with it to the point now we can have some faith. We got our name on a signature, okay? And it wasn't too long till we had the title deed. Now, the title deed comes later. Now, that's sort of like when you receive the manifestation. Now, we were at the point when we signed the agreement that we were believing, kind of the believing we receive when we pray type of thing. And then you shall have it. In other words, when you believe that you receive something, even though you don't see it yet, that's faith. But you don't yet have it, actually, in your hands. You understand what I mean? Faith happens before you actually have the thing in your hand. When you actually have it in your hand, there's no more need for faith. You understand what I'm saying? Faith is only needed from the time that you believe you receive until you actually have the thing. When we actually received the title deed for this place, we didn't need any more. We had the object of our faith in our hands. But before then, we really had it. You understand what I mean? Because we'd all signed the paper. Now, you'd say, well, sure, but something could have gone wrong in between. Yeah, I suppose so. But with God's Word, nothing goes wrong in between. If you stay on and you get enough information, and that's what we're doing by climbing the stairway, getting more and more information on healing to the point that we can believe that we receive when we pray. And see, as we went along in getting this house, we got more and more information. There came a day when we agreed on a price. There came a day when he agreed to throw in certain items. There came a day when we got together with the real estate agent, we signed our names to the thing, okay? There came a day when we had all the money together. And there came a day when that was all signed and we met and everything was released and the house was ours. And so I'm just using that as a little example to show you a little bit about what faith is. Hope comes first, and then as we get more evidence, faith comes. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of something you don't yet see with your senses. Now, you're saying, well, how can I have evidence of something that exists if I can't see it? But see, we're limiting ourselves when we say can't see it, really, to what we can hear, smell, touch, taste, or see. Those are our five senses. And so what it's, the word is saying is faith is the evidence of things not discernible to your senses. We say, well, how can I have evidence of something that isn't discernible to my senses? And that's an interesting question, because we're so used to using our senses for all kinds of input into our lives, it's hard to imagine for us sometimes how we can have evidence of something that doesn't really exist in this material realm. But you can. See, God is a spirit being, all right? We're not. I mean, we are. We are spirit beings, but we have a physical body, too. And this physical body interacts with this world. And so we get all confused, because we're so used to receiving all our information from touch, taste, hearing, seeing, and all that. All right, but faith is an evidence of something you can't see. How in the world can you have evidence of something you can't see? Well, you know, it's just like I got evidence for this house when it became mine. I began to hear things about this house. I began to hear he accepted my offer. I didn't see it, but I did hear it, I guess. So that is senses. But what if there's another realm, and there is, spirit realm, where things are just as real, just as true, and just as full of life, really, than this material realm? Now, it's hard for us to imagine this, because we're not used to thinking this way. But God is a spirit. He lives in a spirit realm. There's a whole spirit realm out there that created everything that we can see here. So really, the spirit realm is more real than this temporary realm, this physical realm that we're living in. Because this is not going to last forever. But you know, the spirit realm will last forever. We are spirits. We have a soul. We live in a body. We've studied that if you've been in some of these classes. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's evidence of something you can't see. Now, let's just turn in our Bibles a little bit to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's just go a little deeper into this thing. This is something that has always intrigued me. Just go to Ephesians chapter 1, and then when you get there, put your finger there and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And let's just start reading a little bit here. Eunice, would you like to read verse 3 for us in Ephesians chapter 1?
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Okay, good. Now, just listen to what she said there. Let's read it one more time, would you, Eunice?
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
What kind of blessings?
Spiritual.
Spiritual blessings. That's interesting, isn't it? God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. So somewhere there exists, in heavenly places, a bunch of blessings for us. It says, blessed who? Us, you and I, believers, right? There's a spiritual realm for each one of us where there are all kinds of spiritual blessings. That's what this is saying. All right? It doesn't say he's going to. A lot of people say God's going to bless us with all spiritual blessings someday in Christ Jesus. No, it says, what's the tense? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what would some of those spiritual blessings be, do you think? Just give me an example of one. Can you think of anything that might have been a spiritual blessing that you may have already received?
Salvation.
Salvation. When did that become true, that blessing?
When you trusted Christ.
Actually, it became true for you then, but when did it become true in the spirit?
When
Jesus died on the cross and he was raised from the dead. That's when that became a true spiritual blessing that he had given to the world. Now, if you're saved or not saved, did he give that blessing to you?
Yes.
As far as God's concerned, he has. Whether you receive it or not is up to you. But God has given that spiritual blessing already, and it exists in the spirit realm. Now, how does that spiritual blessing of salvation get into this realm? Any ideas on that, where it affects a human being? Believing.
Faith.
Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. What would not be seen? A spiritual something, right? You can't see it. Got to be a spiritual something. It's a spiritual blessing. Salvation is a spiritual blessing that becomes real for an individual when they believe in their heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and they confess with their mouth that Jesus is now their Lord, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So to get that spiritual blessing that already exists in the spirit realm into the realm where you live, so it can be, it's evidence now. See, when you read about it in the Bible, it is faith is evidence of something you do not see with your senses. When you heard the gospel preached, faith came into your heart, and you had evidence of something that existed that you've never seen before. That was salvation. And even though you'd never seen it before, even though you'd never seen God before, even though you'd never seen Jesus before, you still believed. You see a little bit more about what faith is now? Faith is a substance of something hoped for, the evidence of something you cannot see with your eyes, but yet is real. Now, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What would all mean? There's more than one. Now, we've all had experience with at least one of them, because I know you personally in here, and you're all believers. You've all believed on Jesus for your salvation. You've all used your faith. Now, get this. You've all here used your faith to draw that spiritual blessing into the realm of the physical, to where it would work in your body, in your mind, and in your whole being. All right? Faith was the evidence, though, before you ever saw it or felt it, that it existed. Because when you believed on Jesus as your Savior, nothing had changed in your life yet. If it delivered you from something, that hadn't happened yet. If it changed your life in some way, like it did mine when I got saved, a lot of ways, healed our marriage, that hadn't happened yet when I believed. The belief comes first. And then when you believe and you have that faith, which is the evidence of something you cannot see, that faith draws that spiritual blessing into the realm that you live in. Now, do you understand a little bit more about faith? Now, the thing is, it tells us here that God hath already given to us all spiritual blessings. There are more. There are many of them. For each one of us here, they're laid up in heaven for us, okay? And our faith draws those things out and brings them in out of the spiritual realm into the realm where we can see them. All right? That's why when you pray, God says, whatever you desire, it's in my word, you know, if it's in my word, if it's not something nuts, you know, but whatever's in my word, what things, whatever you desire, when you pray now, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. How can we believe that we receive them then? How are we going to have the faith? That's the next part.
We've
got to find out what those blessings are. Somebody's got to tell us. How did you get faith for salvation? Somebody had to tell you, right? Somebody had to tell you something was being offered. All right? Now that brings us to the next thing of what faith is, or that how faith comes. We've studied about this so much. What's Romans 10:17 say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here we can put it all together now. You heard about salvation. Faith comes through hearing. You haven't seen anything yet. You can't touch anything yet. But you've got God's word on it. And there's power in the word of God. Romans 1:16 says the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, the gospel of salvation is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of healing is the power of God unto healing. The gospel of prosperity is the power of prosperity. You know, whatever you need that's promised in the Bible, that gospel is the power that brings the faith into your heart. That's how you got saved. You may not have realized it at the time, but when you heard the word on salvation, what it took to be saved, believe that Jesus rose from the dead, okay, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, okay, that brought faith into your heart, and when you acted upon that faith and said, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior, that spiritual blessing of salvation that you had never experienced until that date came from that spiritual realm where it was reserved for you into your heart and became real in your life where you could use it, feel it, grow in it, and all of that. Did you know everything else you need works the same way? And there's lots more promises besides salvation. It's just that's one we know the most about because we've heard it the most, because faith comes by hearing, and anything you hear and hear and hear and hear, you're going to have more faith for than you do for something else you haven't heard that much about. That's why we're talking about healing in this series. Because you know what? I would venture to say that all of you Christians sitting in this room tonight have heard more about salvation than you have about healing. You've heard more about salvation than you have about whether God wants you poor or to prosper or whatever. See, there's still a lot of confusion in believers' minds about some of these things. But one thing believers are sure about, they're saved. And that's good. And the reason you're sure about that is because faith for that came by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And you believe that because that's how faith comes. Well, now, to get faith for healing or faith for anything else, you're going to have to hear what we're going to be covering in the next several weeks. Okay? And so God has all these spiritual blessings that are covered in His Word for every believer in this room. You might say, Matt Hull has a whole table God's got of different kinds of things for Matt Hull. Make it personal here, okay? Every one of you, Matt Dixon, has a whole table in heaven of spiritual things God has got reserved for Matt. Ellen does, Martha does, Kara does, Marianne does, Dick does, Diane does, Amanda does, everybody here has. Chuck has, Eunice has. We all have our own set of spiritual blessings that He's already blessed us with. See, you got to think how God thinks now. We're all going, oh God, please. God's saying, it's all sitting here. I see it right here on the table still. I've given you all these spiritual blessings. What do you need? I need healing. Yeah, it's right here. Somebody, but I don't see it.
Someone said to me, I heard in a conversation, so many Christians are going to be so surprised when they get to heaven and find all these things that they never had, that God had for them.
Yeah, that were reserved in heaven for them. Reserved in heaven for them. All spiritual blessings. Now, you've all partaken of one of them. Wouldn't you like to use the rest of them? I know I would. First thing you got to know is find out what they are. All right? Healing's one of them. I'll give you a little hint. Healing's one of them. We're going to find that out. By the time we get on this lesson, you're going to be going, healing is definitely one of them. I guarantee you. But you know, might be a question in your mind right now. Well, how do I know? Well, how does faith come?
Hearing.
And you're going to hear. And so when we get done, you'll have the faith for that. Now, faith comes by hearing in a heart that is willing to hear. All right? We know about the parable of the sower. If someone doesn't want to hear, they may hear mechanically, but they don't hear spiritually. And they can reject the Word of God. And that happens sometimes. Now, it just so happens the reason you're here tonight is because you've all accepted Jesus as your Savior. There's other people that haven't, but you've all agreed on that. And because you have, your spirit's hungry for more. And that draws you to learn more about what God's got for you. Well, He's got all these spiritual blessings for it. One of them is healing. So you got to put yourself, we talked about the God side last week and the man side. We want to learn about the God side because we know about our side so much. I mean, we know that we need to believe and receive when we pray, and we'll get there. But we need to know some things about how God feels about this healing thing. All right? And we're going to find out about that. Now, one of the things we're learning right now is that God has a lot of spiritual blessings in heavenly places reserved for every one of us. All right? And when we come before God and we cry and we moan and we complain or we talk to each other and we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. God's just looking there and He said, there it is. I've already given it. It's sitting right here. How do we get that thing that's already given, half already given, to somewhere where it helps me? Faith. Faith is the thing that draws that thing out of the spiritual realm and brings it into the physical realm where you can use it. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of something. That's how you can have evidence of something you can't see with these eyes yet. And people don't get confused because every time you think about, oh, I don't know if I do that, you've already done it for the hardest thing. You've already believed God for your salvation. The most magnificent miracle you'll ever have, you've already exhibited faith for that. Every one of us in here has done that. Have heard the gospel, faith came. When that faith came, we acted on that faith. Said, well, the Word says here that if I'll just believe that God rose from the dead, okay, I believe that, and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, I'll do that. I'm saved. Guess I'm saved. And you were. That spiritual blessing became real in your life. Same thing is going to happen with healing. All right? Now just look to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just nail this down. Verse 3, Chuck, would you read verse 3 and 4, please?
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them He may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires.
Okay, now listen to what Chuck said there. It says, God has divine power. Did he say it is going to give unto us? What does it say? Has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, healing pertains to life, doesn't it? Yeah. He's already given it. Now, we're going to see some more scriptures later in the lessons that tells us this, but see, this is just nailing down what we've just already talked about. All spiritual blessings He's already given us. This says He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How did they come? Through the knowledge of Him. What do we mean there? How do you get knowledge of Him? From the Bible. In other words, He's saying here that I've already given unto you all things that you need through knowing Him and what came through His death and resurrection, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why did He do that? So you know what they are. He's given them, but if He just gives you something and you don't know what they are, how can He do you any good? So, some way, God not only has to give these things, these spiritual blessings, but He has to let you know what they are. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair. God lays out all these spiritual blessings in heaven and said, this is for Mike, this is for Matt, this is for Martha. Wonder why they never asked for them. Hello? God, you forgot to tell us what they were. He says, no, I didn't. He says, that's why I gave you these exceeding great and precious promises in this Bible, so you'd know what they are. You have no excuse. I've given them. They're here. Now I'm giving you a book, a list of all the things that I've given to you. The rest is up to you. Well, this book, when we hear it and read it and meditate on it, gives us the faith to withdraw that spiritual blessing from that spiritual realm and bring it into the natural realm. See, it's already real in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is more real than this realm. That's the real realm that will last. In fact, Hebrews tells us that everything that exists was made out of spirit material. Everything you can see in the natural existed in the spirit first. But God brought it into this spiritual realm, or this physical realm, because we're physical beings and we have to interact with something physical. But God provided a way. He not only gave the spiritual blessings, but then He gave us a list of what they are, and then He gave us the real kickeroo, and that is, when you find out what they are and hear what they are, I'm going to go one step further. I'm not only going to give you all these things, I'm not only going to tell you what they are, but when you hear it, something wonderful is going to happen. Faith is going to come into your heart to withdraw that thing from where I have it. What more could He do for us, really? Now, all we have to do is get up, use a little effort, get into this Bible, find out what He gave us, and get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's up to us, isn't it? You know, God will teach us, like tonight, you know, He will bring forth word that will tell us these things. Or you can go home and read these things for yourself, however you want to do it. But when you do, faith will come in your heart, just like it did for salvation, for healing, for whatever you need that's promised in this Bible. And believe me, everything you need is in here. Good marriage, whatever you need is here. And so take that spiritual blessing. Find out what's in here. And then when you... Here's the neat thing about faith. You know, let me just share something with you that really about knocked me off my mowing tractor out here one day. I was listening to tape. And I do that a lot when I'm listening, when I'm mowing out here, because I found out faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I want to have faith. And if faith comes by hearing the Word, I want to hear the Word. How can I hear the Word? By hearing the Word. There's no shortcut. You've got to make time to do that. Well, so it's no big deal. I mean, there's times when I'm driving, there's times when I'm mowing the grass, there's times when I'm working in the garage, there's times when I'm running. that I take my little tape recorder with me, throw in a tape, there's a lot of good anointed teachers out there, and find out what they got to say about faith or whatever I need in my life at that time. Why do I do that? Because faith comes by hearing. And this really, what should I say? What's the word? This really freed me up. You know, it says in the Bible that Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. Well, this Bible's truth, and it will free you up. I had kind of a burden in the sense that I thought, I've got to have faith. I've got to listen to the Word. I've got to, then when I listen to the Word, I've got to get my faith up. And God really just knocked that right down one day. I was out there mowing. And I heard this guy say on this tape, and it just rang in my spirit like a bell. He says, look, folks, you don't have to struggle to have faith. The Word of God is a seed. It's the nature of the seed to grow. If you will just open your spirit and let the seed come in, God will give it the growth. You don't have to do anything else. All you have to do is open up and provide an avenue for that Word to come in. It was like, just like lights went on everywhere for me. I thought, what a freeing thing that is. I don't have to work for this. I don't have to try hard. I don't have to listen real hard and say, okay now, Mike, the next time this comes in your life, remember you heard this. And it wasn't like that at all. What it was, remember, the sower soweth the Word. The Word is the seed, God said in Luke chapter 8. What is natural for a seed to do when it comes into contact with soil? When you put that seed in soil, do you have to go out there and just go, come on, seed, come on. You know, grit your teeth and work on the seed and everything, like water a little or something like that. But you don't have to expend any effort. It's the nature of that seed to grow. And then I read in 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, for Apollos watered, I have sown, Paul said, the seed of the Word, and Apollos is watered. He was a teacher. Paul says, I sowed the seed first in your lives, Corinthians. And then Apollos came along, he watered that seed. He told you a little bit about it again. He says, but he's trying to point to the fact that we're nothing. He said, you guys, some of you are worshiping me, some of you guys are kind of worshiping Apollos. Forget doing that. Don't do it. He says, because I'm just sowing the seed, Apollos is watering, but it's God that gives the growth. You know, you put that all together and you say, God's the one that gives the growth to that seed. I don't have to make it grow. All I have to do is receive it into my spirit. I have to be receptive to the Word. That's all. I can't have I'm not going to hear that because that goes against what I've learned my whole life, you know. I always heard when I was a kid that you just live the best way you can and in the end that'd take care of itself, you know, and just do your best. Well, you heard wrong. That's not how you get saved. I mean, you know, you go to hell thinking that way. I thought that way for a long time. I thought God, you know, if he was an honest, just God, this was my own thoughts, because I didn't know how to go to heaven, and I was praying every Sunday in church, God, show me how to get to heaven. I have no clue. But my reason told me this, that if I would do the best I can, God would look around, and he'd look at Mike, and he'd compare me with everybody else. He'd sort of grade on the curve, and he'd say, you're better than average. Come on in. That's how I thought God must do it, because what else would he do? I had no idea there was any other way. But that was my idea, and it was dead wrong. And so that doesn't work. But it's God that gives the growth to this seed. So all we have to do, folks, is open our hearts up and not resist the Holy Spirit. And when we, like a Bible study like this, if you have a question, if it rings not right in your spirit, go home and read it for yourself. Don't take it because I said it. But at least go look up the scriptures for yourself. All right? It freed me up so much that day to know that all I have to do when I'm out there on my tractor is open up my heart, listen to the Word of God. That seed would come in. The most natural thing in the world for that seed to do would be to grow in my heart and produce faith. That to me was a real nice thing to learn. All right, now, that's enough about understanding faith. Let's talk a little bit about two things we must believe. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. All right, Matt Hall, would you read verse 6, please?
And we
without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Okay. Without what? It's impossible to please God.
Faith.
Without faith, it's highly improbable.
No, it's impossible.
Impossible. Now, here's something that took me a while to learn. I'm still learning it. Faith is necessary. That's the way God operates. I used to think, when I was a pretty new Christian, that God would respond to the normal things that people respond to. For example, a sorry story, a sad situation. Now, God has compassion, don't get me wrong. But that's not what primarily moves God. It's faith that moves God. God is a faith God. I had to get that through my head. There's something about faith that God loves. And there's something about not having faith that prevents God from acting when he would like to. See, and I'm not going to get into a whole big story on this tonight, but think about it for a second. Faith really is a choice that we make to believe God's word. It's really what it amounts to. All right, go back to the Garden of Eden. God gave Adam a choice. He says, look, Adam, everything is yours. I give you dominion over everything. Take this world, run it any way you want. Only ask you one thing, and that is do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. That's the only stipulation I put on this whole thing. That became the one thing Adam was tempted by the devil to do, and he finally did it. Now, when Adam did that, he chose to believe the enemy's word that God was lying to him, and he didn't want them to eat of that tree for reasons that God, that he knew that they would receive knowledge and all that kind of thing. And so they chose to believe that. And every time that we choose to believe the world, the flesh, or our flesh, or the devil, we're choosing not to go God's way, and that's not faith. But when we choose to go God's way, according to his word, that pleases him. Because what we're doing is we're saying, basically, by our actions, God, this whole world says this, and all these kids, all these people that aren't Christians yet and stuff that are running around in Satan's kingdom say, go this way. Just open your, turn on your TV someday and listen to it for a day. They're all going in a different direction. Then God's word says go. And so what we do when we choose faith, we choose God's word, we say, God, I heard all that, and I'm putting that aside. I hear what you say, and that's the way I want to go. That pleases God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and faith is evidence of things not seen. Put the two things together, and it comes out, faith really is word evidence. You retain evidence from God and his word, and you say, that's the way I'm going. That pleases God. All right, so Matt read this. He said, without faith is it possible to please God. Now listen. For he that cometh to God, for whatever reason, first we came to God for salvation, didn't we? But whatever you come to God for, must believe. There's something you must believe. You must believe two things. Because without this faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is, number one. Number two, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what does it mean? Now, first of all, does it say we should believe? It says we must believe. You know, is there a difference between the word should and must?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Must is,
you know, must is definite. Should is
possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like take your car. You should wash it once in a while. But you must put gas in it. Right?
Must is an absolute
good. Huh?
Absolute.
It's an absolute. You should wash your car, but you must put gas in it. Right? Take your own body. Probably should exercise some, but you must eat. Okay? Well, look at this. God's not saying we should believe these two things. He said, if you're going to come to me, you must believe this. Now, what is it we must believe? Number one, we must believe that he is. Well, does that strike you odd to me? It did me. I read this, and I was really meditating on this. I thought, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hey, why would I even be coming to him if I didn't believe he is? You know? If I didn't believe in God in the first place, you know, why would I even come to him? I must have already believed that to be here, coming to God. You see, that's got to come first. Or think about it this way. This book is written to what kind of people? Hebrews. Believers. What does believers mean? You believe in God, right? Okay, you could say, believers, you that believe in me, you that come to me, from now on, must believe that I exist. It doesn't make sense. We already believe in him. We're already believers. So what does it mean? Well, if you go look it up in the Greek, it means more than what the NIV says. That it doesn't even say he is. It says he exists. And that's not what this word really means. You go look it up, and it means, you go back in Exodus 3:14, we won't turn there now. Moses said, well, when I go to Pharaoh, who do I say you are? And he says, tell him I am that I am. Now that's what he means by he is. He is means I am. He is means I'll never change. We must believe that he is. In other words, take it this way. Have you ever been in a church or a situation where people say this, we believe God used to heal 2,000 years ago. Those aren't people that believe he is doing those things now. Those people believe that he did a long time ago do those things. They're kind of was people. Yes, he was a healer. But see, God says, if you're going to come to me, you've got to believe that I am. Right now. Present tense. In other words, it means, Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. That's what this means here, this he is. I am the Lord, I do not change. Now what does Hebrews 13:8 says? Jesus, it says, remember, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is. I am that I am. He is means I am. It means really, he is who he says he is. And is he? If I say I'm a healer, I'm a healer. If I say I'm a provider of salvation, I'm still a provider of salvation. I wasn't just that a while back, I'm still that today. See, if you now it makes a little more sense. When we come to God, when we approach God to receive something, we must believe that he is still doing it. Otherwise, you're not going to have faith. If you approach God and you believe he used to save people, you're not going to be able to exhibit the faith for salvation, are you? So you must believe he is. It's not an option. You must believe that. You must believe he's saving today. Now you understand a little bit more about what this means here. He is doing it today. He is who he says he is. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am that I am. See, we're so used to having past, present, and future. God has one tense, I am. Mm-hmm. He never changes. Yeah.
So when they say in Matthew 8:17, Jesus came to it, he took on a burden and bore sickness, and you read that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that means now.
Right.
Right.
That benefit that he got when he went to the cross and he took those stripes means that it is available not only then, but for every time since then it's available. It's a spiritual blessing that exists in heaven for you to take anytime you need it or want it.
And it's almost greater than when he healed before he went to the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if you go back and read Matthew 8:17, I had a question with the Lord one time on that. It says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And it said he, and that was an example when he healed Peter's mother-in-law and then the people that were there. He said, this happened as according to the prophet Isaiah, that he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I thought, wait a minute. He hasn't even gone to the cross yet. You ever think about that? When this thing was written, he hadn't borne them yet. But yet it said he healed them, and it was according to the prophecy of Isaiah that he will do this. And I asked the Lord about that. I said, Lord, you know, I understand that you went to the cross and you bore these things for us. But it says right here, before you went to the cross, that these people were healed because of this. And I meditated. I talked to the Lord about this for a while. And one day I was sitting there meditating on this. And it just came into my spirit as clear as anything. The Lord said, those were credit healings. He said, do you ever extend credit to anybody? Yeah. For something that was going to happen in the future? Yeah. I mean, maybe this person in the future is going to receive a big bonus. Well, like your income tax. Did you ever do this? You go up there, you go up to the computer, you do your income tax, and then it's going to take you 6 weeks to get it back or 3 weeks or whatever, and they give you this option. Would you like it tomorrow? For another $20, we will give you a short-term loan, and we will deposit this in your account tomorrow, and you just pay us $20 for that service. They have a service like that. In other words, they're giving you credit on a refund after they've seen your return, looks reasonable, it's accepted by the IRS. They won't do it before it's accepted by the IRS. We'll give you it back tomorrow. It's a credit based on something that's going to happen in the future for you. And that's all it was in that Matthew 8:17. God just said, that's a credit healing. My son was going to the cross. I confess it is so. I believe what I say is going to come to pass. You know, it says God calls those things to be not as though they are. And that was a credit for something that my son was going to do. So I said, okay, you can do it any way you want to, I guess. But that answered that question for me. What that means is our first step after having a desire to learn is to know that God is still healing today. Now see, that's a little step on our way to believing and receive when you pray. If you do not believe that God heals today, you are never going to get to the point where you're going to believe that you receive your healing when you pray, because you're going to have a doubt. Well, he used to do this, but I'm not sure he'll do it today. Well, what we're going to do tonight, what we're doing is establishing what a couple of those steps are. But then the next week, we're going to give you the scriptures that back it up. Right now, God is just telling us, here's a couple things you must believe if you're going to come to me. Number one, you must believe that I'm still doing these things today, that those spiritual blessings that I have for you, I'm still releasing for you today, and you exhibit faith for them. All right. So we must believe that God heals today. Number two, we must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, once you get on that first step and find out, and we're going to give you scripture for that, we're not done with that step yet, that God heals today, the next step then is to believe that not only does he heal today, but when I come to him, he will give to me. See, that's not the same thing. The first step is just knowing that he does it today. For somebody. See, it hasn't gotten personal yet. You've just got that first step. Well, I do know he heals today. That's okay. You need to know that. And that's part of what you need to know. But the next part makes it more personal. You need to know that he is a personal rewarder when you come to him for you, if you'll diligently seek him. And that's different than just believing he heals today. That makes it more personal. That means that you believe that it's God's will to heal you. See, that's the next one. Not only do you need to believe that God heals today, but you need to believe that it's God's will. And folks, that's the step. You know, the first step, God heals today, there might be some denominational churches that don't go along with that. But most of the churches that people go to in this room, I know you all know that most of the churches that we go to do believe that God heals today. So basically, you're past that step, but I just present it as a step. The next step, however, is to believe that God is a rewarder to you when you come to him. You need to believe that it's God's will to heal you. Now, we're starting to separate the men from the boys here a little bit. A lot of people get on that step and are not so sure. They can believe it might be God's will to heal somebody, and they know God healed sometime. And we might even be able to believe that God will heal you. But when it comes to believing today, then I pray that God's going to heal me, I'm not so sure that it's God's will. Have you ever heard anybody pray for Pearson for healing this way? Lord, we just lay hands on our brother here, and the elders of the church have all gathered around, and we just believe, Father, if it's your will that you heal this person. You ever heard that? Do they believe that it's God's will to heal that person if they're saying it? They're not sure. And that won't cut it. See, they're still on that step. And while you're on that step, you're not ready to believe that you receive when you pray. You've got to get that settled in your spirit. Is it God's will to heal me now or not? Well, we're not sure. You never know what God might do. But we're going to cover ourselves because I don't want to look bad if this guy doesn't get healed. If I lay hands on this guy in front of the whole church, and he's got terminal cancer, the doctor says so, and he dropped dead tomorrow, I want everybody to know that I had an if it be thy will in there, because that way they don't blame me, they blame God. You know, that reason is why it's in there sometimes. Because we're not sure And we sure don't want the responsibility on us. So let's throw it on God, because if the guy dies, we can always look wise and say, well, you know, God was just ready to have him come home. He loved him so much, he didn't want to do without him any longer, blah, 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 and all that stuff, you know. Or some little kid dies or something, they say, well, God just needs another little angel, you know, and all this, you know. But it's just really ignorance. It's not anybody meaning to do wrong. But they never got this settled, whether God wants to heal today. Okay, so we've got two steps that we've got here, and we're not done with them yet. Next week, we're going to give the reasons that we can do believe these things. All we know tonight is these are two things we must believe. But you know what? We don't have evidence enough to have faith in these things, because God has just told us we must believe this. And it's not enough to know we must believe these things. We have to have some background so we can believe these things. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If God just came to you and says, you must believe in salvation, well, you wouldn't know what to believe. God hasn't told you. You haven't got enough faith until you hear that you must believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You must confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You must hear it maybe a couple of times until that faith comes in your heart, and then you're ready. Well, tonight we just learned two things we must believe. We have not yet learned getting the background that will give us the faith to stand in these steps yet. We'll do that for coming weeks, okay? So that's enough for tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for teaching us about healing, Father. We thank you for making it clear to me, first of all, so I can pass it on to these people. And we just ask you, Father, during the week that you would confirm this in their spirits, Father God, and just, if they need to hear it again, just, we've got tapes, Father, just put it in their heart to ask for a tape. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, let's see. Let's see, this week our homework is for lesson 33. And the lesson last week was still on healing, how do we get in position to receive healing? And the title of the lesson was What We Must Believe. Okay, and last week, just for by way of review, Hebrews 11:6 said there's two things we must believe when we approach God. One, we must believe that He is, and it doesn't just mean He exists. It means that He's still answering prayer and doing things today, just like He did before. And number two, we must believe God is a rewarder of those to come to Him for assistance. Now, the homework deals with that and some faith teaching that we had last week on what faith is, how faith comes, and all of that. So here's the homework questions. All right, number one, true or false? Faith is defined in Hebrews 11:1 as the hope of things not seen. True or false?
False.
Why is that false?
Substance.
Substance of things hoped for. That's right. It's not the hope of things. Or it's a substance of things hoped for, or the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
False. Or next question. No, it's the evidence of things seen. True or false?
False.
False.
Not seen. Not seen. Right. True or false? No, it's really the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
True.
True. That's what faith is. Substance of things hoped for. You got to hope something. Hope for first. The evidence of things not seen with our senses. Since faith comes by hearing the word, and since faith is the evidence of things not seen, we could define faith as word evident, world evidence, oh geez, of something that exists, not detectable by our senses. I've got that marked true because I read it too fast when I did this.
Actually, and I did the same thing. I worked really hard on that too.
Well, I got it wrong. I read it too fast. Did you get it right, Matt?
Well, I read it once this morning, and when I read it again, the second time I read it, I saw it was world instead of word.
Good for you. How many got that one right? What? Four of you. I got it wrong. You read them too fast. You know what? I shouldn't tell you this, probably, but what I do is I make these up last week, and then the day of the meeting, I go over them and mark my answers, so I'll have them for the you know, when we go over this, and I went over it pretty quick this morning, and then later I went over it again, so I you know, if we wanted to discuss some of these, it'd be fresh in my mind. I had three of them wrong, not counting this one. Yeah, tricky. Yeah, it's tricky for myself. Okay. It's word evidence. Faith should be defined as word evidence, not world evidence of something that exists. If you look to the world for evidence of something in the faith, don't forget it. You'll never get there. Okay. True or false? To approach God, we should believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him. True or false?
True.
Everybody say true? Folks. We had this last week. Hebrews 11:6 says what? Says he that, remember, says without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God should believe. No, says must believe. Remember that? Remember that was one of the points I made. I made that point last week. We must, there's two things. The title of the lesson was what we must believe, not what we should believe. Okay.
It's almost as good as I had a professor in college that he would say, this is a true or false test.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be going down and you think, man, it's all true. That's true. Now something's got to be false in here. And you'd try to change one. Uh-huh. And it was a true or a false test. Everything was either all true or all false.
Oh.
And he just drove me nuts.
Ah. It's tricky. You're even trickier than I am. No, actually, this is a legitimate one, I think. I mean, to approach God, we must believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him. That's the whole point of these lessons. Three lessons in a row. First, last week, we established the two things we must believe. And then this week and next week, we're going to talk about the foundation of why we can believe those things. Last week, we just said what we must believe. This week and next week, we're going to cover those two things on why we can believe those things. Okay, there's a little difference. So that one should be must believe. Now, next question. To believe that God is, in Hebrews 11:6, means to believe more than that God really does exist. True or false?
True.
True. It doesn't take, it means more than that. It means to believe that He's still doing now what He's always done. In other words, He hasn't stopped being God in all these different ways of healing and all that. Okay. To approach God successfully, we must also believe that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. True. Not should, but must believe this. That's true. We know God never changes and rewards those who seek Him because all the major religions of the world basically agree on this. True or false?
False.
Yeah. If we form our beliefs on whatever the religions agree on. Now, what is our basis for belief?
The Bible.
The Bible, right. We know because of what the Word says. What the religions agree on is not the basis for our faith. There's a lot of religions, most of the world's religions, agree that, you know, if you just do the best you can. In fact, if you go to most, if you take all the world's religions, there's only one, Christianity, that believes that you must go through Jesus. Every time someone comes out and says, you mean to say the press or somebody once in a while they get on this, that you think that Jesus Christ is the only way, and if someone says yes, they jump all over them.
They do.
Because they say that's discriminatory. That's not diversity. It's a diverse world. There's lots of good people and religions out there that don't believe that. While you're being narrow-minded.
It may be good people.
Sorry. Yeah. What did Jesus say? I am the way,
the truth,
and the life. Then what did He say? No man comes to the Father except through me. Okay. One of the steps to believe receiving healing for my body is to believe that God still heals today. True or false? True. That was the one we talked about last week. We're going to talk about it more tonight. Another step is to believe that it is God's will to heal people. True or false? That's true also. Abraham pleased God because of his faith. We also please God when we have faith. True or false?
True.
Romans 4:19 and 20 tells us that even after Abraham considered his own body now dead, he didn't stagger, but was still strong in faith. True or false?
I'd say false.
Why?
Because they went by the other woman.
The what?
Did he go by, instead of having the child he was supposed to his wife, he went
Yes, he did go by Hagar. But if you read Romans 4:19 and 20 after that, it talks about his strong faith. And what I just read to you, did you look up Romans 4:19 and 20? What does it say? What did Abraham consider? Did he consider his own body now dead? It says he considered not his own body now dead, didn't it?
Based on the fact that his body was as good as dead.
That his body was as good as dead.
Well, NIV is really misleading on that one, because what does the King James say? Or one that's a little more literal. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But listen to what it says next. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Wait, I'm down one. I'm down too far, I'm sorry. Let's go back to 19. And Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. So I said here, Romans 4:19, 20 tells us that even after Abraham considered his own body now dead, see, he didn't consider his body at all.
Yeah.
See, if you get in trouble, if you start considering your body. That's the point of this question. If you start considering your body, how it feels. Like, let's say Helen, we just prayed for Ellen over. Okay? Now, let's say she goes home, and she starts to go get ready for bed, and says, oh, this arm still aches. Now, you're starting to consider your own body. See? And if you start considering that body and how it feels for a while, you know, all healings that are prayed for aren't instantaneous. In fact, very few are. So when you go home, you just don't consider your own body still hurting, is basically what the point of that scripture is. So it really wasn't that tricky a scripture, because all you had to do is go to the King James and say he says considered not his own body now dead. So when Ellen goes home tonight, she's considered not her own body. Praise God.
Isn't having pain right now.
Well, that's an even easier way not to consider your own body. Even if it did, she wouldn't consider it. Okay, everybody understand that? Everybody totally muddled the water. Okay. You got that one?
Yeah.
That NIV is
NIV says
the
opposite, doesn't it? Essentially, if you don't have to do it.
You know, I personally...
We know.
Well, never mind. Romans 4:21 tells us that Abraham was fully persuaded that whatever God desires, he is able also to perform. True or false?
False.
Why is it false? Okay, what does it say?
Right.
Right. Tells us that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's able also to perform. Okay? See, that's where our basis for faith is. It's what did God promise? That's our basis for faith, just like when we prayed for Ellen tonight. Our basis for faith is the fact that God chose to put in His Word a way of getting healed that included what we did tonight. And so that's the basis for our faith. Now, let's say Ellen came here and she just said, you know, my shoulder's been bothering me and I'd like to pray for healing. And we just said, you know, I got this great idea. Sounds good to me. Let's go get some oil. Let's anoint Ellen. And let's just believe real hard that God's going to heal her. Well, that sounds like, you know, if it wasn't in the Bible, there'd be no basis for doing that. The way you can come in faith is have the Bible right there in front of you. That's why I'm so careful that we do it just the way the Bible said do it. And if we'll do it in faith, it'll happen just the way God said it would happen. So, it says Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's able also to perform. And so tonight, us in this room are fully persuaded that what God had promised about healing, He is able also to perform. Okay. And will actually perform it, like it says. It says He will save the sick. Didn't say He might. It says He will. All right. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that God is going to bless us with all spiritual blessings. True or false?
False.
Why do you say false, man?
Yeah.
He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. See, really, I'm not being a nitpicker on this, because that is the actual emphasis that we gave that last week, that it's already done, okay? He's already blessed us. Remember the analogy of the table in heaven with all the stuff on it? It's already there. And the way we receive that is to, by faith, draw that thing. It's in the spiritual realm, the spiritual blessing, into the natural through faith. And how can we have faith? Because of the promises in His Word. See how it all ties together? It's really quite beautiful how God's got this all worked out. And it makes a lot of sense, too, when you think about it. How am I going to know how God feels about this? Well, what does He say in His Word? Oh, He says this. Okay. He says healing's for today. There's a spiritual blessing. Draw it out with your faith. Start acting on it. Start talking healing. Start believing healing. Quit talking defeat. Quit talking sickness. Quit saying, I get every year at this time I get this, or my allergies are going to act up now because of this and that. I mean, you hear that all the time. And people are just nailing themselves into these things year after year because of their confessions. All right. 2 Peter 2:3 says that He'll also be giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
False.
Why is that false? Oh, that's right. Yes, read 2 Peter 2:3.
Did you read 2 Peter 2:3?
Well, yes.
Did you read it? Yeah. I said, well, you got to be kidding. You never read these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. He's got me for my
life. You suppose the Holy Spirit did that? I meant to put 2 Peter 1:3 there.
Huh?
I mean, when I wrote this up, I was thinking 1:3, but I hit 2:3.
Oh.
Well,
I really didn't mean it to be false because I put the wrong scripture down there. Okay, I had it to be false for another reason. The be giving. I mean, that's future tense. That's why it was false. But Marianne pointed out today something about a scripture that said, beware of. What?
Read these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Is that
the case? Boy. Maybe that was.
He had to have slipped somewhere.
Maybe I better read that afterwards and be sure. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit had wanted me to look over there.
I'm going now why I do the homework.
All right. Well, it's false for two different reasons, actually. It's false because I had the wrong scripture. It's false because it's not future tense. It's also past tense. All right. True or false? We'll know what the things are He's given us from the promises in His Word. True or false? True. That's how we'll know. It says, well, He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Okay. And His exceeding great and precious promises. And that's what those promises are in His Word. Malachi 3:6 says that God will never change. True or false? That's true. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus will never change either. True or false? That's true also. True or false? We could have figured out Hebrews 13:8 from Malachi 3:6 that Jesus is God. True or false? Yeah, really, we could. Now that we know Jesus is God, and God never changes, Jesus can't change either, right? Very good. You're very good students.